Shall we pray? Father, thank you. We ask that you help us this morning. Thank you, Holy Spirit. We know you are here and we welcome you. We depend upon your ministry this morning. You are our helper, you are our teacher, you are our standby, you are our advocate, you are our intercessor, you are our friend. We ask that you help us this morning. It will not just be another sermon. We shall hear your voice, we shall hear your instructions, and more importantly, we shall be doers of what you ask us to do this morning. Let every need here be met this morning. Let there be healing, let there be deliverance, let there be understanding, there be revelations, let there be confirmations of your will to people. Let everybody here receive that which is packed for them from heaven this morning. We're grateful and we'll thank you. I receive your help. I depend upon you, Holy Spirit, this morning. You help me to do exactly what needs to be done the way it ought to be done. We thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. John 14, verse 16 and 17. John 14, 16 and 17. John chapter 14, verse 16 and 17. Jesus is speaking here, and he said, "And I will pray the Father, and he, the Father, will give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever." He may abide or reside or be with you or dwell with you forever. "Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But you know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be you." He dwelleth with you and shall be you. You want to look this morning at dynamics of spirit operations. Dynamics of spirit operations. Dynamics of spirit operations. I'm not talking about spiritual operations now, but spirit operations. Dynamics of spirit operations. We cannot be effective as Christians if we don't understand the dynamics of how spirits work. You know, the devil has made the spiritual look very fearful and scary, that we try to avoid it. But we cannot be effective if we don't understand certain spirit operations. But before we go into that, let's look at some background information. Number one, there is a natural physical realm. Natural physical realm that is tangible, that we can perceive by, with our senses. What are the five senses? One, sight, smell, touch, taste. Okay, so that's the natural world. We can see the chairs, we can see the colors, we can see our cars, we can see your house. So it's a natural physical tangible world. Number two, there's a spiritual world also. So what we see, touch, taste, and smell is not all there is to life. There is an intangible, invisible spiritual world that we cannot perceive with our senses. So what we're seeing is not all we're supposed to see. So there's a spiritual realm that is intangible, that is invisible and not passable to the senses. So that is the spirit world. Number three, the spirit world divided into two parts, or the spiritual divided into two parts. There's the demonic. So spiritual is not just one, it's two. There's a demonic realm, of course, where we have the devil, demons, and all that. But there's also the spiritual realm, or the divine rather. So there's a demonic and the divine. The divine is where we talk about God, angels, Holy Spirit, Lord Jesus, and all that. So there's a demonic realm and there's a divine realm. Number four, God is a spirit. Very important. John 4:24 says, "We worship God in spirit and in truth." God is a spirit. Those that worship God worship in spirit and in truth. So God is a spirit. Hebrews 12:9 calls the Father of spirits. The Father of spirits. So God is a spirit. Now the problem with the natural realm is that it is subject to the spiritual realm. So the natural is subject to the spiritual. The spiritual is either demonic or divine. We'll look at that later. Number six, background information. You are a spirit. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. You're a spirit, you have a soul, and you live in a body. Don't forget, the natural is what you can see, touch, taste, and smell, but the spiritual is invisible, not tangible. But you are a spirit. The real you is a spirit. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 says, I pray God, your whole spirit, soul, and body preserve blessed of the Lord Jesus Christ. So you are a spirit, you have a soul. Your soul is the seat of your emotions. Your soul is three compartments. Your will, you decide to come to church this morning. Decide to wear a red dress. That's your will. That's your decider. That's where you decide. Your will is where you decide. That's part of your soul. Your soul also consists of your emotions, your feeler, how you feel. So your will is your decider. Your emotion is your feeler, how you feel good, you feel sad, you're angry. That's your emotions. Then you have the intellect, which is your thinker, where you think. So that's your soul. So you have decisions or decider, feeler, thinker. That's your soul. But you are a spirit, you have a soul, and you live in a body. Your body is your house. So what we are seeing is not the real you, it's your house. Because you understand this background of formation to help us to know how spirits operate. So the real you is your spirit. When you get born again, your body doesn't get born again. Now, there are three things. You are saved, you are being saved, and you're going to be saved. You are saved, you are being saved, you're going to be saved. You are saved, your spirit is saved. You are being saved, your soul is being saved. Your body will be saved when you get a new body. So your body is not born again. Your spirit is born again, but your soul is being saved, is being renewed day by day. So you're a spirit. Tell your friend you're a spirit. Very important. Tell him you're a spirit. Number seven, background information. A human spirit is either dead or alive. So you're a spirit. You're either dead or alive. Now, in the Bible, death is not extinction. It's not extinction. Death in the Bible simply means separation. So when a person dies, it's not extinct, but there's a separation. Now, so a human spirit is either dead or alive. Now, what does that mean? When you are not born again, your spirit is dead, separated from God. So every human being is a spirit. They're either dead or alive. When the person is not born again, his spirit is dead, separated from God. Now, there are three kinds of death. There's physical death, when a person's spirit is separated from his body. So when the person falls and dies, what happens is his spirit is separated from his body. That's physical death. Now, there's spiritual death, when a person is alive physically, but his spirit is separated from God because he's not born again. Then there's what I call the second death, which is called eternal death. It is when a person who is not born again dies physically, there's a second death. He's separated from God eternally. So you are either dead or alive. So when you're not born again, you are dead, separated from God. But when you're born again, that's why I say you are born again. You are alive unto God. Your spirit is alive. John 3:6 says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That is born of the spirit is spirit. So you are either alive or dead. Number eight, background information before we go into details this morning, is the purpose of demonic spirits or the demonic is to resist and oppose. Very important. The purpose of a demonic is to resist and oppose. While divine spirits are designed to assist. Very important you understand that. Demonic spirits are designed to resist or oppose. Why divine spirits they are designed to assist. They are designed to assist. So demonic spirits are designed to oppose us or to resist us. Then divine spirits, God, angels, Holy Spirit, they are there to assist us. Let's look at four dimensions of spirit operations with that as our background now. Four dimensions of spirit operations. Number one, and these dimensions apply to both demonic and divine. The first one is spirit in. Spirit in. So you can have a demon inside a person or have the Holy Spirit in a person. So the first dimension, four dynamics, is spirit in. Because if you understand these things, then we become more effective as Christians. So there's this dimension of spirit in, or the indwelling presence of spirits. Indwelling presence. Romans 8:11. So the first dimension is the indwelling presence. Let's talk about the good one first, the Holy Spirit. Romans 8:11. But if the spirit of him that raised Christ from the dead dwell in you. That's Romans 8:11. So it says the spirit of God, that the spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you. So the power that raised Christ from the dead, which is the Holy Ghost, indwells the Christian. It says, he shall also quicken your mortal body by a spirit that dwells in you. So there's the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit in the believer. 1 Corinthians 3:16. Paul, talking to Corinthians, asking them a question. Know ye not that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you, indwelling presence? So once you are born again, the Holy Ghost dwells in you. You become the temple of God. He indwells you. So every believer has the Holy Ghost in them. Sometimes we Pentecostals, we are proud. We think only we have the Holy Ghost. No. Every Christian has the Holy Spirit. Look at tongues later if you have time. So once you're born again, he dwells in you. You become his temple. So there's the indwelling presence. So right now, the Holy Ghost indwells you. How can that be possible? Very simple to explain. Right now, we're inside air. True or false? Oxygen, whatever. We're inside. This place is full of air. Correct? What are you breathing in and out? So where's air now? Everywhere and inside you. So the Holy Ghost, so you can't explain spiritual things in natural terms. But we try to, as much as you can, by the Holy Ghost. So the Holy Ghost is everywhere, omnipresent, but it's also in us. There's air all over this place, all over the world, but we also carry air inside each person. So he indwells us. He indwells us. Why? What is the purpose of indwelling presence? To help you behave like God. Galatians 5:22 from the Amplified. The purpose of the indwelling presence of the Holy Ghost is to help you behave like God, to have the nature of God. Without the Holy Ghost, you cannot have the nature of God. You cannot operate like God. So it's in us for character. For character. Galatians 5:22, what we call the fruit of the Spirit. I'm going to read from the Amplified. But the fruit of the Spirit, that is consequence of the Holy Spirit in us, that is the work which his presence within accomplishes. So the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5:22, is the consequence of the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. Love, joy, peace, gentleness, meekness, temperance. Because of his presence in you, you can love the unlovable. A Christian can love anybody. Why? Because of the Holy Ghost in you. The consequence of his indwelling presence is the fruit of the Spirit.
So we must understand that. So you must understand the dynamics of spirit operations. The indwelling presence enables us to operate in the nature and character of God. Now, if you don't understand that, you will not yield to his indwelling presence. You will yield to the flesh. So you behave as if you're not born again, because you're not yielding to the indwelling presence. So he indwells us so we can operate in the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy. A Christian has joy. He has peace, gentleness, meekness, power under control, faithfulness. Under normal circumstances, every Christian is faithful if they yield to the Holy Spirit. There's joy, there's peace, gentleness, meekness. But if you don't understand that he indwells you, you might want to do that in the flesh. So the indwelling presence of the Holy Ghost helps us to have the character of God. But most times, I'm not a fool. No, I can't take that. I'm not a fool. What am I doing? I'm not yielding to this indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. So, also, demons also want to indwell people. Then we say somebody is demon possessed. That's the indwelling presence of a demon. Now, a Christian cannot be demon possessed because he's already possessed. Every Christian is already possessed. Possessed by what? By the Holy Spirit. So he cannot dwell with the demon. So no Christian can be demon possessed. Do you understand that? Now you can be oppressed by a demon, but you cannot be possessed by a demon if you are born again, because the Holy Ghost dwells in you. But a non-Christian can be demon possessed, the indwelling presence of a demon in an unbeliever. What is the purpose of that? To control the person. Okay, let's look at the scripture quickly. Mark 9:17-19. Mark 9:17-19. So, demons want to indwell people to control them. The Holy Ghost indwells us to assist us. Don't forget, demon spirits are designed to oppose and to resist. Divine spirits are designed to assist. Holy Ghost wants to assist you to operate in the nature and character of God. Mark 9:17-19. Okay. Mark 9. Is that what I said? Okay. 17. See what happened there. We're talking about being demon possessed, the indwelling presence of a demon spirit. Now, this is Jesus, the encounter with Jesus and disciples. One of the multitude answered and said unto the master, I brought unto thee my son, which has a dumb spirit, evil spirit. Okay? And wherever he takes him, that's the demon now, wherever the demon takes the boy, he tears him and he foams and gnashes with his teeth and pineth away. Spoke to your disciples, they could not cast him out. They could not cast him out. He answered and said unto them, O faithless generation, how long should I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And 20 now. And they brought him unto him. When he saw him straight away, the spirit tore him. He fell on the ground, wallowing and foaming. And he asked his father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? Said as a child. Look at verse 22 now. And oftentimes the spirit cast him into where? Into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. So a demon spirit controls a person against his will. Demon spirit indwells people to do things against their will. So you see people, politicians, people, non-Christians, or people that, you know, they're on drugs or killing people. They don't want to do it, but they do it because they are demon possessed. After they have done it, it's like their eyes open. So spirit within, the indwelling person of the spirit. So if we are Christians, we have the Holy Ghost dwelling in us. So we must cooperate with him to behave like God. We have the nature, the character of God, the fruit of us because of the indwelling presence of the Holy Ghost. Number two, spirit with. Looking at the dynamics of spirit operations. The first one is indwelling. Second one is spirit with, which has to do with partnership. Spirits want to partner with men to execute their agenda. The Holy Ghost wants to partner with you to execute divine agenda. John 14, we read earlier, 16 and 17. He dwells with you. He dwells with you. The Holy Ghost is not just in you. He resides or dwells with you. So there's the indwelling inside, and there's the partnership. He is with you. You are sitting with somebody now. You're working with somebody. So the Spirit wants to be with us. Holy Ghost is with us. And the purpose of the Holy Ghost with us is partnership. So you shouldn't do anything without the active partnership of the Holy Spirit. Because he's with you in your office, in your business, in your career, in your home. He's with you. He's not just in you. He's with you. Partnership. Now, what does the Holy Spirit bring to the table? If you're in partnership, you bring something to the table. Like bring money or skill. What does he bring to the table? John 14, 26. Read from the Amplified. Because we understand those things, then we get more results as Christians. John 14, 26. I'll read from the Amplified. What does the Holy Ghost bring to the table? Partnership. What does it bring for us that we have access to? Now look at it. John 14, 26. Jesus said, the Comforter. He now explains who the Comforter is. Number one, Counselor. So the Holy Spirit is the Comforter, is our Counselor. Who is the Counselor? Talk to me. Marriage is not working, business is not working. You go see a counselor. Holy Ghost is our counselor. He is with you to counsel you. And he knows all things. How do you do business? How do you raise capital? How do you love your wife? How do you get things done? Is our counselor. Number two, is our helper. He's with you. He brings these things to the table. Counseling, help. Always ask him to help you in your business, in your marriage. Ask him, is your partner. He's there with you. He wants to help you. If you don't ask him, he's not going to do anything. Spirit with, counselor, helper, three, intercessor. He wants to help you to pray. You can't pray without the Holy Ghost for too long. He's our intercessor. Number four is our advocate. Who's an advocate? Somebody who presents your case better than yourself. So you need to go to a lawyer. A lawyer is an advocate. It's not his own case, it's your own case, but he presents your case better than yourself. So he's your advocate. Number what? You have to follow me now. He's number one, counselor. Number two, helper. Three, intercessor. Four, advocate. Number five, strengthener. He wants to give you strength. He's our strengthener. Number, he's our standby. Now, you might not understand this one in America. Those Nigerians, everybody has what they call a standby generator. What does that mean? Standby means something you use in case of emergency. So when a part takes light, you put on the standby generator. The Holy Ghost is your standby. When there's emergency, the Holy Ghost is standing by you. And if you jump down, he will teach you all things. He's our teacher. So he brings that to us. So there's the Spirit with. You are not alone. You are not alone. The Spirit is with you. When you are down, He's with you. You are up. He's with you. So be conscious of his presence. That's what we call the fear of God. The fear of God is not the afraid of God. Fear of God simply means you are conscious of his presence. Of course, demons also want to be with people. Number three dimension of spirit operation is spirit on or spirit upon. So let's recap quickly. What's the first dynamics of spirit operation? Number one, spirit in, indwelling presence. Number two, spirit with, partnership. Number three now is spirit on or spirit upon. This is for empowerment. It's for empowerment. Acts 1:8 says, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has what? Come upon. Upon. Power comes when Holy Ghost comes upon you. So spirit on is for empowerment. Luke 4:18. Quickly. Luke 4:18. Jesus is speaking here. He says, the spirit of the Lord is upon me. And because of that, he was not empowered to do certain things, spirit, gospel, lay hands on the sick and all that stuff. So the spirit upon for empowerment. When God gives you an assignment, he gives you a business, he gives you a marriage, he comes upon you to get the job done. Empowerment. Now, on the demonic side, well, you guys, American, might not understand this example. If you see a masquerade, they're beating drums, he's dancing. After a while, when the drum gets to a tempo, the masquerade begins to do some serious gymnastics. What happened at that point? The spirit is upon that masquerade. So there's the spirit upon for empowerment. We are not a feeble people. It's not just for church. If God gives you a business, gives you an idea, he comes upon you for empowerment, to empower you to do it. So there's spirit in, you have the nature and character of God, you behave like Christ. It's effortless if you depend on the Holy Ghost. There's spirit with, partnership. You're asking for counsel, for help, for advocacy, for strength, for him to teach you. He's in partnership with you. Then he's now on you, empowerment. So you have power to do certain things. Beloved, when God gives you an assignment, you are doomed to fail from day one. Because if God gives you an assignment, it's a divine assignment that only God alone can do. So to do God's assignment, you need God's power. God gives you a business idea, it won't work in your natural strength. It only work if you connect with God's power. That's why Christians get into trouble. They pray, they have an idea, fantastic idea, great idea. They start off, it will work for a while because they are powered by excitement. Then after a while, it begins to nosedive. Because if God gives you an idea, you must be empowered to get the job done. Not by power, not by might, but by my spirit, says the Lord. So there's an empowerment. It's not just church. We need it in church, but it's more important outside church. It's spirit upon. Number four, spirit around in the environment. Maybe I should use the word environmental spirits. There's environmental spirits. What is the purpose of that? To facilitate and make easy spiritual operations. So there are spirits in the environment. If you go to some environments, there's the spirit of fear. Everybody's just afraid. In some environments, there's violence. That spirit in the environment. In some boss's office, if you enter his office, once you enter his office, you begin to shape because of fear. And in some other places, there's an environment of love. Spirit around. So some neighborhoods are known for certain things because of the spirit around that neighborhood. Now, on the good side, for example, when we come to church, there's a spirit, there's an environment created by spirits in a church setting. Are you following me? You know, when you come to church, there's a reverence. There is a caution. There is, you know, it depends on what we understand. And that's why this church must not miss it, where there's a reverence, a seriousness about this particular assembly which must never be lost. If you go to some other churches, you notice the environment is different. So there's the spirit around, spirits in the environment. Now, look at three scriptures quickly. Now, if you go to Hebrews 13, verse 5 and 6, Hebrews 13, 5 and 6, says, let your conversation or manner of life be without covetousness. Be content whatever you have. He now said, for he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So God is a spirit. He will never leave you nor forsake you. So stop saying, where is God? Where is God? No. He's with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. God, where's your face? That's a Nigerian phrase. No, he's with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. So God is always with you. He's committed to us. He now says in verse 6 says, that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Why is the Lord your helper? Because he's there with you. But most times we're not conscious of his presence. That at the back of your mind. Go to Genesis 28, verse 12, 13, and 17. I want to look at spirit around in church now. Genesis 28. This is Jacob. He had a dream. Genesis 28, 12 and 13. So he had a dream. And then Genesis 28, 12. And Jacob dreamed, and behold, a ladder. Look, listen now. A ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, angels, that's spirits now, angels of God ascending and descending on the ladder. Okay, so there was a ladder set upon earth, reached the heaven. Angels, spirits going up and down on the ladder. Verse 13, and behold, the Lord stood above it. God is a spirit also. He stood above a ladder and said, so not just angels going up and down, there's also spiritual communication. Okay, but go to verse 17. Then when he woke up, he was afraid and said, how dreadful is this place? This is none other but what? Talk to me. This is none other but what? The house of God. Now, what is the house of God? 1 Timothy 3:15. 1 Timothy 3:15. What is the house of God? Use the Bible to interpret the Bible. 1 Timothy 3:15. Paul was telling Timothy, if I stay long, if I'm delayed, I want to tell you how you ought to behave yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God. So the house of God is what? Talk to me. Huh? Is where? So that means in the church, there's a ladder from the earth that reaches to the heaven, and angels, spirits are ascending and descending, and God is speaking. So when we come to church, there's a lot of spiritual activity going on. The Bible says you have come to an innumerable company of angels. So the angels here going up and down, and God is communicating. That's why I come to church sometimes, an idea will just strike you, bam. You just get an answer suddenly. Someone just, wow, I know, you write it down. Why? God is communicating because of the environment. So you come to church, you come with a problem, sometimes you leave with the answer. Sometimes you want to do something, you don't know how to do it. You come to church, an idea just strikes you. Why? Because the environment is conducive for God to communicate. But there must be a consciousness of that. So there are four dynamics of how spirits operate. The first one is the indwelling presence. Every believer has the Holy Spirit in us. We have it in us. He's in us. So be conscious of his indwelling. That's why if you understand that, you don't engage in sin. Don't engage in things that are wrong. Because you are conscious of his presence. Number two, there's his with us partnership. Partnered with him consciously. You want to raise capital. You want to get something done. You want to build a house. You want to, whatever you want to do, always ask him to help you. Always seek his counsel. Partner with him consciously. Don't ask him, he's not going to help you. Spirit with. Number three, there's spirit on, empowerment. If God gives you an assignment, gives you a business, gives you a marriage, gives you a ministry, he wants to empower you to get the job done. But he wants the conscience that I'm empowered for this assignment. So failure is not an option. When it looks like I'm failing, I understand I'm in partnership with him. I ask him for help, ask him for counsel, ask him for strength, ask him to teach me. Then there's spirit in the environment. So as a Christian, I must now learn to frequent anointed atmospheres. Like church. I know when I come to church, I will hear God, I will hear instructions, I hear directions. So I frequent anointed atmospheres. Because then also, I create an environment where the Holy Ghost can operate. Then when I notice that there are demonic spirits in an environment, my job is to cast them out. Very important. So you might be working in an office that could be strife. There's so much strife. Unnecessary competition. Cut no competition. In the office, there's no cooperation. Everything is just upside down. You don't want to go to work on Monday because it's just crazy environment. No, you can take authority over that spirit. Because that's the spirit in the environment. Some of the people, your colleagues might be demon possessed also. But you can take authority and say, as long as I'm here, this place was a condition for me to operate. As long as I'm here, I bind the spirit of strife in this environment and I release peace to reign in this office. Sometimes in a home, unnecessary quarrels just happen. Small thing, the husband is flaring up. Just small thing. You need to take authority. Now, let me give you my last script. Mark 16. Mark 16. Because don't forget, the demons want to oppose and resist us. Want to make life difficult and rough. But you must understand we can take authority. Mark 16. Jesus is speaking here. Verse 16. He that believeth, Mark 16:16-17. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. Let not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that what? Believe. Are you a believer here this morning? So what are the signs that will follow you? The first one is what? Casting out demons. That's the first sign. You must understand that Christianity comes with opposition. If you don't learn how the spirit operates, you'll be unnecessarily resisted. These signs shall follow them that believe. First sign, in my name, they shall cast out devils. The first time church is mentioned in the Bible, the demonic forces are also mentioned. I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against. So once you get born again, you're on the firing line. You're on the firing line. So when you notice that the environment is not conducive to what you want to do biblically, it's your job to bind the spirit behind that. Are you following me? So you notice in your office or in your neighborhood or whatever you are getting involved in, your businesses are not working fine. It's your job. You have authority over demonic spirits. I don't have much time to look at all these things. So sometimes you have a business that ordinarily it should work, but it's not working. And there's no explanation why it's not working. Then it's because there's a spirit behind that thing. There's an opposition from the spirit. If you don't bind the spirit, they remain in oppression. The Bible says, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you lose is loose in heaven. So what you don't bind operates. And what you bind cannot operate. Dynamics of spirit operations. Demons want to oppose and resist us. But we must not allow that to happen. Understanding who is with you, who is in partnership, who's you're empowered, is in you, is with you, is your strengthener, is your advocate. So we take authority over it. And so you must learn to do these things if you're going to pray effectively as Christians. You don't have to shout. Spiritual power is not necessarily in shouting. You don't have to shout. Sometimes you need to shout, but sometimes you just understand what you are saying. Get to your office. Get there early tomorrow morning. Take authority. Just walk around the whole place. Take authority over every demon causing confusion in this office. Spirit of strife, spirit of gossip, I bind in the name of Jesus. And I declare that this is the house of God. Whatever my feet steps is mine. Lord, Holy Spirit, you are here. Rule and reign in this place. In Jesus' name. Go to your seat. You surprise my body. Just like, hey, good morning. How are you doing? You've taken authority. You have the business is not working. Sometimes some of our staff are demon possessed or demon influenced. You tell him 1,000 times, he repeats the same thing. So let's understand what we are seeing is not the whole thing. We don't look at things after the outward appearance. There's more to what we are seeing than we are seeing. Sometimes sickness can also be caused by demons. In Luke 13, there was a woman who was bent over, could not stand up. Jesus said, woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. And then when there was a controversy, now said, ought not this woman, being the daughter of Abraham, be delivered from this infirmity for 13 years? So when you notice in your life that something is wrong that should be right, you've done everything, then you need to take authority over demonic spirits. We are more powerful than we look. We are much more loaded than we look. But most times we are not accessing the oppression of spirits. And unconsciously we are allowing opposing spirits to influence us. Let's pray. Let us ask God this morning. Let's ask the Holy Spirit to help us. Let's start from there. Holy Spirit, help me. Help me to understand the oppression in my life. Help me to understand the oppression in my life. That you are with me. Let me understand that you are with me. You are in partnership with me. You are in me. I can behave like a true Christian. I can behave in the nature and character of God. You are on me. There's an empowerment. Give me understanding, Holy Spirit. Let me understand your operation in my life. Help me to yield to you. Teach me about you. You are my advocate. Speak for me. put words in my mouth to speak. You have an interview. You have to present a proposal. Ask him to help you to say the right words. You have to write a proposal. Help me to write the right things. You study, of course. Help me to maximize your ministry in my life, Holy Spirit. To be conscious of your presence continually. Maybe you notice some things are not working. Business, career, family, marriage, finances. And they should work. Take authority. Devil, your counsel, your plan, your influence are destroyed. You know a demon by his oppression. You demon of strife, confusion, anger. In my office, in my home, I bind you in the name of Jesus. I cast you out in the name of Jesus. Spirit of strife. Spirit of fear. Sometimes you're just afraid to step out and do what you're supposed to do. You're afraid. Spirit of fear. I bind the spirit of fear in the name of Jesus. The fear of doing the right things. The fear of stepping out to do what God has called you to do. I bind the spirit of fear in the name of Jesus. Sometimes the sickness is a spirit. Bind the spirit of sickness, spirit of pain. Bind in the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, help me. Help me. As I go into the week, help me. Help me in my business. Help me as I do my proposals. Help me as I do my presentation. Help me in my academics. Help me in my marriage. Help me in my prayer life. Help me to study the Bible. Help me, Holy Spirit. I need to get a job. Help me to get a job. Help me in the interview. Help me, Holy Spirit. You need to ask him to help you. Partner with me in my business. Partner with me, Lord, in this thing. This idea is of you, O Lord. Help me. No demon will resist me from today. Resist the devil and he will flee. Every opposing spirit, I bind in the name of Jesus. And I receive divine assistance. The Holy Ghost is there for our divine assistance. I receive divine assistance in my business, my career, my marriage. Father, thank you this morning. We rebuke every sickness and disease. I command every pain, every discomfort, every sickness and infirmity to leave this place. As many as are sick this morning, I speak healing to their bodies. I command healing to flow from the top of your tube to be healed now. Command pain, sickness, disease, infirmity, cancer, high blood pressure, diabetes, whatever it is inflicting your body. I command to leave now. Leave now in the name of Jesus, and I speak healing to your body. For every confused mind, I speak clarity of mind. Holy Ghost, help your children this morning. Help us. We need you to help us. Without you, we cannot go far. We ask for your help this morning, Holy Spirit. You will help us. In every area of our lives, you will help us. We receive your help, Holy Spirit. You will teach us. You will guide us. Guide us into all truth. Show us things to come. Be advocate for us. Strengthen us. Holy Spirit, we need you more than ever before. Give us a consciousness of your presence. Help us to yield to your indwelling presence. We can live like Christians. We can be like Christ. We can model Christ. Help us that we can walk in your empowerment. We'll do what is beyond our natural human ability. We'll receive help this morning. We give you praise and we'll thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
To God be the praise. Do we have a hymn?